appeals and the various legal systems he was having to work through to make an appearance before the highest court of his time and in his land. The prospects and the promises of this appeal were not very positive. In fact, in many ways, things did not look very good for the Apostle Paul at all. And yet we read in the final few chapters of the book of Acts that as he was unjustly condemned, unjustly imprisoned, and unjustly taken to have his appearance before the emperor, we know that he faced it with great confidence, but part of that confidence was also built up by the knowledge that his brothers and sisters in Christ, that his Christian friends, he had many enemies, not of his own making, many enemies among his fellow Jews, many enemies of the Romans, but his Christian friends loved him and would support him all the way. I want you to read with me a passage that you find in the final chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28, after this journey had started with Paul making his way to the capital to make his appearance, well, along the way, in addition to the unjust imprisonment, many unfortunate things happened. There was a shipwreck, and there was the threat of the loss of life, and many difficult things that he had to go through. But God was bringing him all the way through this and watching over and protecting him, and even those who were with him. And then we read a very interesting passage beginning in verse 11 of Acts chapter 28. We're going to focus on a verse a little further in this context, but beginning at verse 11, it says, After three months, we sailed on an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers which had wintered in the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled round and reached Rhegium, and after one day, the south wind blew, and the next day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren. Now, very key here as we begin to understand some of this, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Now, after being with these brethren for a week, now they're making that journey toward Rome. Verse 15 is really where we want to focus this morning. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. What a great blessing it is to know that you have Christian friends. Before we actually analyze this text, let me remind you of a couple of passages from the Old Testament. In the book of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, we read these encouraging words. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, we read that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. The Bible tells us that when Paul reached this point of his journey, not far from Rome, that some of the brethren heard that he was passing through this particular place. And they came to meet him. And the text tells us in verse 15 of Acts 28, when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, we're going to look at this text from the standpoint of the blessing of Christian friends. The blessings, really, of Christian friends. And from this text, we're going to look at three phrases that will help us understand what these blessings are. And as we look at these three phrases from this text, they will formulate, of course, the three main points for our lesson as we analyze what the text here and what we can learn here, what the blessings are of Christian friends. I want you to notice, number one, Christian friends meet you where you are. Number one, Christian friends meet you where you are. Look at the phrase, they came to meet us. Paul was on a journey.
under guard and had little freedom at this point. He stayed with some brethren for 7 days, we read, when they came to one particular place. And then in the end of verse 14, they went on toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, notice the text says, they came to meet us. And then he names the places where they came to meet him. And as you look at the places that are named there, if we understand, and those who analyze and know a little more about Bible geography than I do, those who analyze these things and understand these things from where Paul was perhaps at this moment and where these people were coming from and where they met him on this particular journey, it is estimated that perhaps they traveled as far as 50 miles to greet him, to meet him. They came to meet us. Brethren, Christian friends, will meet you where you are. Sometimes we find ourselves in places not of our own choosing. Sometimes we find ourselves in places where we would probably rather not be. And yet, because of circumstances and the way things have fallen out, in this case, it wasn't Paul's doing. It wasn't his fault that led to the arrest and the false charges and all the different things and the levels that he had to go through to continue to live and be an evangelist for the Lord. And sometimes that happens to us. Sometimes circumstances fall out and turn out and fold out that are not necessarily of our own doing, not necessarily of our own choice. And we find ourselves in places where, well, quite frankly, we'd rather not be. And maybe surrounded by people we had rather not be surrounded by. And isn't it a blessing to know? Sometimes when we are at our lowest, sometimes when we are struggling like that, Christian friends will come to us. Sometimes we are unable to go to them. Paul couldn't go to these people, but they could come to him. And what a great blessing they brought by coming to him, as we will see as we unfold the other phrases and the other ramifications of what Christian friends and the blessings they are to us. But think about what it means that they came to meet him. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes an interesting statement about his lifetime and his ministry. And in this particular point of his life and his writing, 2 Timothy is likely some of the last things we have in the New Testament of his writings. Probably very near the end of his life. And on this particular occasion, in 2 Timothy 3, he writes these words in verse 11 and 12. Persecutions, afflictions, what's happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Then he goes on to say, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so he's suffering persecution, he's suffering hardship and difficulty because he's trying to live godly. Yet the Lord will deliver him out of all of these. And when he wrote to Timothy sometime after this event, we're reading in Acts 28, he says, the Lord has delivered me out of them all so far. But what a great blessing it was to know that the Lord also used Christian friends to help make that possible and to ease the suffering and the difficulty that was there. You know, you read in the Old Testament about a man named Job in the book of Job. And after he suffered all his afflictions, he had the loss of his wealth. He had the loss of his health. He had the loss of his family and even, at least for a period of time, the support of even his wife. He was in miserable shape. He was in such pain and suffering emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, all he could do was sit on an ash heap and take a broken piece of pottery and scrape the sores that were on his body for some minor relief. Three friends came. Three friends heard of Job's situation. Three friends knew the suffering that their friend was going through. Three friends heard about it. And they got together and they all came from very different distances and different places to comfort him. Now, in the end of all things, they provide very little comfort. In fact, they make his suffering even worse. But I want you to notice something when you look at the first couple of chapters of Job. It says they came, they saw him, they were completely astounded at his appearance, almost could not even recognize him. And they just sat with him in silence for 7 days. They did great until they opened their mouth on the 8th day. But for 7 days, friends came and they did nothing but sit with a man who was hurting inside, outside, from top to bottom. And they just sat with him. They didn't say a word. They met him where he was. There was very little that these Christian friends in Acts 28 could do for Paul at this point. They couldn't deliver him. They couldn't rescue him. They couldn't change the charges or do anything like that. But they came to meet him where he was. To bless him. And you and I all can remember at least one time and probably multiple times when we have been in a situation that was less than pleasant and less than desirable and certainly not on our choice list. When a brother or sister in Christ came to us where we were, maybe said very little, and just sat with us and encouraged us and blessed us. Maybe you have had the opportunity to go to someone and just sit with them. You didn't say very much. You couldn't change the situation. You couldn't fix what was broken. But you could meet them where they were. And you could just be with them. Because as I understand what these brethren did and Acts 28, and I understand what you and I need to do for one another, is just simply sometimes meet people where they are. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. We meet people, we meet our brothers and sisters in Christ where they are. Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus to meet Mary and Martha where they were. And the Bible tells us, of course, that Jesus wept and that the response of the crowd when Jesus wept in John 11:36 was to look at that and say, "Behold how he loved him." And obviously how he loved Mary and Martha and met them where they were. James chapter 1 verse 27 tells us, defines for us, pure and undefiled religion. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. The idea there of visit means that you go to them. You go to the people who are hurting. It's more than just a social call. It is where we find someone who's hurting and we do what we can within our ability to help heal the hurt. Sometimes we can't change it. Sometimes we can't rearrange it. Sometimes we can't make it go away. But we can make ourselves come to where the person is. And maybe, like Job's friends, just sit in silence and suffer with our friend. Simply because we love our friend. Christian friends, number one, meet you where you are. Number two, as we look at our text, Christian friends remind us of where God is. Here's the phrase. When Paul saw them, what? He thanked God. Christian friends, help us remember where God is. It's not necessarily that we forget where God is. It's not necessarily that we have thrown our faith overboard and we're saying, forget it, God doesn't care and God doesn't know. It's not necessarily that. But sometimes the presence of someone else that we are close to, the presence of someone else that we love, the presence of someone else that we know loves us and has gone out of his way to meet us where we are and to help us and to encourage us and bless us, it just helps reinforce, maybe reinforce is a better word than remind. Because Christian friends, reinforce in our mind where God is. He's right there in their heart. And so Paul thanked God when he saw those people. Because he knew they came to see him. Several years ago, my lovely mother-in-law passed away. And we had Christian friends who drove hours and hours to come stand in a long line at a funeral home for a visitation. And you know how visitations usually go. You only have an opportunity to say a few things for a few moments to the family. And people came. They met us where we were, and they reinforced in our mind the love of God and where God was in their hearts and in their lives. And they helped us thank God in spite of a less than pleasant circumstance we were going through. And we see as we look at this and as we think about this that sometimes we go through situations that are so difficult. I mean, imagine being in Paul's sandals at this moment and he's in prison and it's unjust and everything is unfair in so many ways. And he's been through a shipwreck and there have been so many challenges and so many difficulties that he's had to navigate and make himself go through. And in spite of all of that, in spite of all the things that, you know, if we ask Paul, make a list of all the things that are unpleasant right now. He could wear a pen and roll a papyrus out. Because this would be a long list of things that, I wish it wasn't this way, I wish it wasn't this way, and, you know, this isn't great, and this isn't so fantastic. In spite of all of that, the text says what? He thanked God. I think there's a lesson there for us. I know there is. That when we are going through things that are tearing at us, hurting us, threatening us, messing with our faith, challenging our hearts, hit your knees and thank God in spite of all those circumstances. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God of all blessings." I'm paraphrasing that just a little bit, but that's basically what he's saying. That he has given us all the great spiritual blessings in all the heavenly places. And they all are, we all are beneficiaries of these blessings. You see, Christian friends remind us and reinforce in our mind where God is. He's the giver of all these great blessings. And so we are brought back to God if we've sort of wandered away a little bit or we've felt some distance there. Or we are brought even closer to God. Why? Because brethren, help us and encourage us and bless us when we need it the most. And in spite of the circumstances and the difficulties that we may be going through, you know, a thankless person is really contemptible in the sight of God. And you think over and over in the Old Testament where we read that the children of Israel were blessed so much by God and they were not thankful. and how contemptible and despicable that is. We must make sure that we are not those people. We must make sure that that is not our attitude and not our behavior. We read some interesting things in the New Testament as well. Jesus tells us, or Luke tells us, about a time in Jesus' life in Luke chapter 17 where 10 men who had leprosy approached Jesus and he healed them all, and one man who was a Samaritan came back and thanked him for doing that. And Jesus says, "Were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Am I among the 9? Am I one of the 9 that doesn't remember where God is?" And I don't reinforce in my heart and my mind where God is, and I don't thank God. There's an interesting, if you're still in Acts chapter 28, you might just look across the page of your open Bible there at Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, it describes there a long list, particularly in the last half of the chapter, of horrible sins that man is capable of. And all the terrible things that man can do and does when his life is not in attune to the will of God. And you know, we read the list, we read the sins that are there about uncleanness of heart and, you know, leaving the natural use of men and women, and how that these people were involved in all kinds of idolatry and sexual passions and debased minds and immorality, covetousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, backbiters, haters of God, proud, boastful, inventors of evil things. And that's just a sampling of several of the things that you read in Romans chapter 1. But there's an interesting phrase in verse 21. In Romans 1, verse 21, you read, "Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God." Now look at the next three words. "Nor were thankful." Do you see where the sin of ingratitude is placed in Romans 1? It is placed right there parallel with all these other immoralities, idolatries, and what you and I would call big bad sins. And the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in Romans chapter 1 something that is just as disgraceful, something that is just as despicable, something that is just as horrible, something that is just as big and bad as all of these other things, is when people are not thankful. See, Christian friends remind us and reinforce in our hearts where God is, and we thank God. But number three, the blessings of Christian friends. Number three, Christian friends encourage us for where we're going to go next. Christian friends encourage us about where we're going to go next. And the phrase that we take from our text in Acts 28:15 is that Paul took courage. Number one, they came to meet us. Number two, he thanked God. And number three, he took courage. And from that, I'm making the application that Christian friends encourage us where we go next. They meet us where we are. They remind us of where God is. But they also encourage us where we go next. Because Paul still had quite a journey ahead of him. He had many challenges still to face. And from these brethren, whose names are not mentioned, whose presence in Paul's life and crossing Paul's path is almost incidentally mentioned in the Scriptures. But look how valuable it is. And look how tremendous it is that they not only blessed him then and there, but they would bless him later as well because they were there. And Christian friends encourage us where we go next. Because even the strongest of people, and Paul was a strong man. Paul was a courageous man. But the Bible tells us here that from these brethren, he took courage. Because even the strongest from time to time can become a little war weary. Even the most courageous can tremble every now and then. Even the bravest and the boldest can have some hesitation and be tired. And no doubt this man was weary, he was tired, and he still had so much ahead of him to go. And he still had so much to do. But because these brethren came, because they helped him thank God, and because they provided this great blessing in his life, then he could move ahead knowing that they had blessed him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, we are told these words, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Sometimes it's not always easy to be brave. Sometimes it's not always to be strong. Sometimes it's not always easy to stand fast in the faith. But when Christian friends help us and bless us and encourage us, we can do it. And we can move forward to the next leg of the journey and to the next step along the way. And we can be courageous for Christ. And we can take courage and be encouraged and give courage and give encouragement to everyone we meet. Because Christian friends bless us and help us do that very thing. May it never be the case. May it never be the case that others are more thankful to forget us than remember us. My father-in-law, talked about my mother-in-law a moment ago, my father-in-law for nearly 40 years worked for the South Central Bell telephone company. But on the side, he also sold a few used cars. We're thankful that he worked for the telephone company to supplement his income from trying to sell used cars. Because he was not exactly going to ever win Used Car Salesman of the Year award. He was honest and he was upright, but he didn't make a lot of money. And one time, he told me, you know, sometimes you get a car and you don't realize that it may have some problems and you have to put more money into it and you become upside down on what you got in it versus what you can sell it for. And then he would lower his prices and all kinds of things like that would happen. And he said, you know, there are a few of these cars, I am glad to see the taillights when somebody drives it away. Don't be the person that people are glad to see your taillights. They are glad to see you leaving. They are glad to see you going away. They are more glad to forget you than to remember you. Be the person who helps people take courage. Be the person who helps people face the future and deal with it because you've helped them and you blessed them because you met them where they were and you together have gotten a little bit closer to where God is. And now you can face what comes next and where you go next. Be that person. Be the person that gives other people courage. Encourage. Encourage one another. As the Apostle John said, "My little children, love one another. Encourage one another." God gave us one another. God gave us one another to bless one another, to help one another, and to not only help and bless one another in this life, but to prepare one another for the life that is to come, for where we ultimately are all going next. And that's where God is And we will meet him where he is. And you look about this room. You have brothers and sisters in here. You have friends in here who want to help you and bless you and encourage you as we all walk together along this road of life to heaven. And we want to walk together. We don't want to lose anybody. We want to bring everybody on board that we can. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to become a member of the Lord's church. We want you to become a Christian by turning from sin, confessing Jesus as the Son of God and your Savior, and being baptized in His name. And if you're a child of God that's struggling and maybe you're veering off the path, we want to take you by the hand. And we want to get you back on the path. Not because we think we're better than you, not because we want to rebuke you and come down on you, but because we love you. We don't want to lose anybody. We all want to be together because God gave us one another in this life to be ready for the life that is to come. So, thank God and take courage for the friend that sticks closer than a brother who has done all and given his life for us. Will you give your life to him? If so, will you come this morning as we stand and we sing?
All things ready. Come to me.